This week on Making Contact.
So these white women breaking up over their first experience of hearing about racism, they are basket cases, partly because of their bad, bad education.
How do we talk about race and racism in this country? Not as deeply as we should, according to filmmaker and educator Dr. Shakti Butler.
So we point to the people who are individuals, who are people of color, who have quote-unquote made it in this society. And of course, you know, we have Barack Obama. Therefore, everything is fine. But in fact, that's not the case.
On this edition, we'll hear excerpts from Dr. Butler's work and speak with her about using the medium of film to start conversations around the thorny issue of racial inequity. I'm Jen Chien, and this is Making Contact, a program connecting people, vital ideas, and important information. Dr. Shakti Butler and her organization, World Trust, use documentary film, dialogue, and education to address the deep complexities of race and racism. Her latest film, Cracking the Codes, The System of Racial Inequity, looks at the structural and institutional nature of racial injustice by using engaging personal stories, anecdotes, and insights from a variety of people. Let's listen to a few clips from the film.
When I was really young, probably up until the age of about 8 or 9, the social network, the relationships, the family, friends were all mostly people of South Asian descent. I wasn't so aware of myself as a racial being. And then something shifted. And at that point, I started rejecting my own culture, community, quite drastically. And although there were so many people of color that were around me, I really wanted to be accepted and assimilate with white people.
I think one of the biggest disturbances that I have about my dad in particular has to do with his upset about how dark he is. I remember about 10 years ago, and I'm 54, so this wasn't that long ago, 10 years ago, he was visiting, and he showed me a picture of himself when he was 4 years old. I had never seen pictures of him when he was young before. He never showed any photos of himself to us. I look at the picture, and it's this cute, beautiful 4-year-old boy, dark, dark, dark. And then they lived in the desert. They're even darker, right? So they lived out there in the desert. Dark picture of this 4-year-old, cute 4-year-old, and I said, Dad, oh, you're so cute. How come you haven't shown me these pictures before? This is the first time I've seen them. And he said, well, look at it. And I looked at it, and he says, I look like a goddamn piece of charcoal.
Racially, we are almost completely the same. Ask an anthropologist. We are all, every people, less than 0.1% different. Other 99.9 is what makes us humankind, but the human mind is a master at building barriers.
That was Humaira Jackson, Hugh Vasquez, and Y. Jalal Hyler from Dr. Shakti Butler's film, Cracking the Codes, The System of Racial Inequity. I sat down recently with Dr. Butler in Making Contact studio for a conversation about filmmaking, creating community, and challenging racial oppression.
Well, I think most of us are trained to think about race in terms of whether or not I'm a good person or I would never do that. So therefore, that would be my individual position. And it's what allows people to talk about or consider that we are, quote unquote, post-racial. When in fact, racialization, which is a word I'm going to use, coined by John Powell, as a noun, meaning it's a process that goes on, racialization is filled with economic barriers that are part of a system, a larger system, that churns out disparities. And if we don't understand the system and how it functions, then we can't really address it in any kind of way that's sustainable.
Who's the intended audience for your film, for this film and for other films that you make?
Anybody who's interested in creating an equitable and sustainable society could be interested in this film. Who buys the film and works for the film primarily are educators, faith-based organizations, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, that kind of thing. But I think, you know, we all make up the system, so therefore I assume that everyone can benefit from understanding how it functions.
And so when you make a film, what is your idea about where it's going to be seen? So it doesn't strike me as the type of sit down at the movie theater kind of film.
Right.
So when you imagine the ideal place and way for people to watch your film.
Ideally, people will watch it with the purpose of being able to have a conversation. It's not meant to really be watched alone, and it's not meant to be watched, you know, without a conversation. And so built into this film explicitly are places where you can stop and talk.
Let's talk a little bit about World Trust.
Yes.
So that's your organization.
Yes.
It's an educational organization. Can
yes.
you talk about the mission statement?
And yes. Our mission statement is, through education rooted in love and justice, World Trust is a catalyst for racial equity. So World Trust really is about transformation. And it's about transforming minds and hearts. Some people might add souls, depending upon your perspective. But when you look at the conversation around race, which is typically individual, and you look at the conversation through an organizational lens, people who do organizing work, who understand systems and structures, you also understand that we human beings have been killing one another since time immemorial. And so the deeper meaning of World Trust is, how do you not only go to the roots, which is understanding the system, but go to the seed? Like, what is it that causes us as human beings to be so afraid that we cannot see that there really is enough for everybody and that everyone benefits when all boats are lifted? So our purpose is to create films that transform, but they're also designed to invite people to ask new questions, because really that's how transformation can happen.
Now, this is a big question, but sort of begs to be asked after what you just said. So what is the answer, or what are some of the answers to that question? What is it that makes human beings be that way, and how is it that we can help to make that better?
Right. I believe that we are paradoxical beings, that we are capable of greatness, and we're capable of the antithesis of that. But we tend to want to look at only where we shine or where we're doing a good job. And all effort is towards getting answers and being the best that we can be. But in fact, we all have shadow sides. And if we don't investigate that, if we don't look over there and see what is actually going on, then we can't address it. So we have to be willing to question who we are individually and collectively and how we show up in the world. And I think that's something that I'm deeply interested in from lots of different perspectives. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, definitely. But mm-hmm. seems like with your film work, what you're trying to do is to put a light on that shadow side
right.
with people who are comfortable in sharing it, so that we can crack open this kind of discussion.
Right. And people who are willing to look. I mean, sometimes you don't even know that you're willing to look until you realize it's not just about you personally. You know, it's not just about how you show up in the world. It's how we show up in the world and what we create in our institutions. And that's rooted in history and culture and identity. But it's moved by power and economics. And so if we don't really understand that part, we can't really look at how to make sustainable change.
I'm wondering about your own background
mm-hmm.
as a filmmaker and doing this kind of transformative educational work.
Right.
Where did that come from?
Well, right off the top, I have the good fortune to be married to a 4-time Emmy Award-winning cameraman. So that when I said, hey, baby, I have this idea, and he said, okay. But basically, the content and my interest in the content comes from the fact that I am a mixed race African-American woman, meaning when I was born, there was no such thing as I'm mixed race. You're either black or not. And I grew up in Harlem, understanding very clearly what it meant to live where I lived and then go to private school from the third grade on, being the only young girl of color in that school. And then I learned that I had to have different language, different ways of being, going back and forth between those two worlds. It was also the height of the civil rights movement, and I also lived right near Malcolm X, and so I got to hear him speak all the time, and I understood the issues. I saw my people suffering, and I saw the unawareness of that suffering and didn't understand it. So I think that just by who I am and having a deep yearning for justice and having a deep interest also in love, the power of love, not personal love or romantic love, but the power of love to make change. It's like, how do I play a part in making the world a better place? And the rest of it just kind of unfolded.
How did you hit upon film as the best medium for your message?
Well, aside from the fact that it was available to me, it's people are moved by film. Film can express so much more quickly and fully an idea or a series of ideas. It's really a prime opportunity to reach people at a lot of different levels. So you can't just work with the intellect, and you can't just work with the heart. You have to include both, and people have to be motivated to want to make change. And film has the potential to do that because you can relate to the stories that you see that you might not ordinarily be thinking about, but then when you see it, it resonates with you. And when people have that experience as a shared experience, then it's really a setup for connecting and becoming motivated to actually do something.
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. I'm Jen Sheehan. We'll hear more from Dr. Shakti Butler in just a moment. If you'd like more information or for CD copies of this program, please call 510-251-1332, extension 108. Because of generous support from listeners like you, this show is distributed for free to radio stations in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and South Africa. To find out how to donate, download shows, or get our podcasts, go to radioproject.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. Now, back to my conversation with Dr. Shakti Butler. So let's hear another clip from your film, Cracking the Codes. This one is a Black woman telling a story about going to a Chinese restaurant with her daughter. Can you set this one up for us?
Okay, so what you're about to hear is a clip where the person who's speaking is Aisha Cloete. And she's describing a situation whereby she had already made a commitment to healing herself from the disease called racism. So she considers it a disease. And the clip speaks to how she found herself in a position where she reached out to someone who was rejecting her and her people, and how she found a way to make a connection with this woman.
Waitresses and was passing by us. Nobody was really stopping. And then I called one of them. I said, I'd like to get an order to go. And she said, one moment. So she left and she never came back. So I was sitting there, 10 minutes had passed. And I said, wait a minute. So finally, an elderly woman was at the counter. So I said, let me go up and talk to her. So I walked up to her. And I was just reading some stuff off, and she wasn't writing anything down. And so I finished my order, and then she looked at me, and she said, we don't serve you people. And I looked at this woman. I said, look, you know, it's okay. I said, you don't have to serve me. I said, but I really want you to think about what you're doing. I said, there are all kinds of people in the world. I said, there are good Black people and bad Black people, good Chinese people, and bad Chinese people, good white people, and bad. And it was like I was having an out-of-body experience. I was looking deep into her eyes, and it was like I had captured her. And she was listening, and I was sharing with her. I said, but I just want you to think about the message that you're sending the young people by saying, you don't serve you people. Who are you people?
Well, I wanted to ask you about what is happening visually while Aisha is telling her story. So right. what the audience sees is an image that goes into a sort of black studio space.
Right.
And the image of an Asian woman dressed in black and a black woman dressed in black exchanging colored scarves.
Right.
And so there's this kind of theatricalized or abstracted image of the story that she's talking about.
Right.
So I wanted to ask you how you came up with that kind of visual idea for the film.
I wanted the film to not just be talking heads. I wanted it to have theater and art and music and a way to touch people and kind of shake up our preconceived notions of who we are and how we can interact with one another. So the power of that story is it's a story literally of transformation that we get to see, because people are moving physically across the stage and they're also moving physically with the exchange of scarves. And so, which, you know, transformative learning really is my field. And what it says is that every human being has embedded assumptions about how they think the world works. And when that gets interrupted, we have a chance for deep learning and change. And so the theater is a tool to help amplify the words that are being said on a lot of different levels.
How else did you use visual imagery in the film to get at that?
Well, we have several theater pieces in the film. And so each place where we decided to use theater were stories that were really poignant that could benefit from people seeing them in a way that's amplified. So, for example, we have Ice Life, who is an African-American man and an educator, who is talking about how he felt that he was trapped in a box based upon people's expectations of what he could be.
So let's say you grow up in the suburbs, you know, or you grow up in an affluent area in a city that has an affluent area and a ghetto, but you're black. A black boy. And so you get to school and there's a box for you. And that box says you rap, you're an athlete, you're slightly to highly misbehaved. You're not involved or into your education that much. You sell and or use drugs. That's the box that you're accepted in. And in order to play ball, no pun intended, that's how you interact with yourself, your own identity, and this is how you're cool. But you feel like the box that it traps you in is you feel like to be healthier, to be in a more sound mind state, to think and know and come from a place of foundation in your life, it's something that you have to be ashamed of and you have to denounce, can drive you crazy.
And so the visual for that part of the film is, can you explain that, describe what's happening?
Sure.
For that theatrical moment?
Yes, that theatrical moment is there's a young African-American man who is surrounded by four people making a square that are saying, you know, rap, crack, et cetera. And over in the distance is a young man who is graduating from college, and he's saying, no, I want to get over there.
I just want to get over there.
Rap.
No, I need to get over there.
Hey, man. Hey, show me your
job. And you get to understand, I think, at a visceral level, what it means to have to buck the system of how you're supposed to be.
It sounds like this is an example of what you were saying about film being able to reach people on different levels.
Yes.
So you're hearing his words, you have seen his face already, the right. interview subject, but then you also get a different way of receiving that information.
Right. Right. And I think the other thing is that, you know, we remember stories. Some people are really good at remembering facts, but the facts by themselves don't make change. If that were true, then the Progressive Party would be far ahead of where we are. So it's not about just the intellect or the intellectual understanding. It's about really being able to put yourself in somebody else's position and to be able to feel that emotionally and in all kinds of ways that can help you move outside of your own lived reality and accept someone else's as valid.
So what happens when you do show this film in groups? when you yourself present it and start the conversation, what kinds of questions do you use?
I'm a very simple person. And so typically what's been happening, we've been showing this film in different parts of the country to audiences anywhere from 700 people to 300 people. Of course, there are smaller groups too when people just hire me to come in. But the event itself of watching the movie is typically 2 hours long, which is not very much time. And there are places, three spaces in the film where we stop and people can talk to each other. So let me back up just a little bit. The beginning is very important. We always begin with conocimiento, building community. That comes from the Latino movement of understanding what your strengths are first. People often want to just dive into the topic, but I need to know who you are and you need to know who I am. So we build community first. The people watch the first section in the movie.
How do you build community?
Well, there are lots of ways to do it. I use visualization and I don't know what this sounds like, but we breathe together first. As simple as just becoming anchored in the body and breathing together. So we do that first. We watch the film. We stop. I ask people very simple questions like, what stood out for you and why? Because we are attracted to things that either pull us in because they're very much a part of our own lived experience, or things that we're rejecting because we've never considered it before. Both of those are valid doorways into deep change. And that's what we're trying to do. My goal is very simple. It's to have people leave asking themselves a new question.
This is a question about those gatherings where you watch the film, but also about your interview subjects. Mm-hmm. How do you get people to talk about things that are so uncomfortable, that can be so painful, that can be so secret for a lot of people?
So let's make a distinction between the interview subjects and the people who are having the conversation. The interview subjects are people who are very versed in understanding the topic. And people often ask me, why don't you interview people at all different levels of the spectrum in terms of their understanding? Because this is a teaching movie. We want people to understand deeply how this system actually functions for many reasons. One is because if you understand race, you can understand any form of oppression. They all operate exactly the same way. They're also completely interrelated. When you understand how this kind of system works and you address it, it actually makes you a better human being. You have to be a better listener. You have to be one who's willing to understand something that's different from your own lived experience. You can consider how you might address it. So I want the best of the best on camera because they're teaching. People who are in the audience are at all levels of understanding, and people will leave with all different levels of understanding. I'm a seed planter. The film is a seed planter. It's designed to take you to another level wherever you start. You may end up completely in resistance. That happens. But I don't worry about that. I'm looking at how can we support people who are actually curious and want to be part of making a world that they're going to pass on to their children and their children's children, where we can actually thrive. And so that happens a lot because people get curious. They get excited. They understand something they didn't understand before. They become committed to struggling for justice. That's what I'm after, those people.
I'd like to ask you about something that you said that I think I read in an interview, maybe, that film can create a sense of disorientation. But I think you said disorienting dilemma.
Right.
So I'm wondering if you could speak about that, about how film can actually create a kind of disorientation or confusion that is actually useful.
Right. So now we're back to transformative learning theory, which says when you have an epiphany about something or when you have engaged in a process so that some fundamental understanding that you have that shifts, it often shows up in the form of what's called a disorienting dilemma, which simply means that the world is not the way you thought it was. It's like somebody pulls the rug out from under your feet. When that happens, you're in a position to make a lot of new meaning, to reorder how your brain has actually organized and labeled different schemas. It's the way your brain organizes information. So it's very powerful. it is required because we human beings are very good at justifying and manipulating our ideas, defending our ideas. And so the disorienting dilemma, or what some people in psychology call a cognitive dissonance, is required to kind of just shake things up.
And how do you use film specifically to create that?
Well, I feel like, you know, that people who watch the film, at some level, they're almost like voyeurs, because they're getting to see experiences from lots of different people of lots of different races and cultures that they have not been exposed to personally, but they get to hear the truth of those people's stories. And that may be a direct challenge to what they think they know. Because, you know, the mind likes to fill in the blanks. So we think we know, when really we don't.
Do you feel like there's more of a demand for that type of material now?
I do. I do. I mean, I have been working on the issues of race now for a long time, and I am seeing some shifting. I see more people being able to use language that actually articulates some of the dimensions of race, gender, class, and so on. I see young people really, and young people, you know, thank God for young people who are really interested in changing how the world is actually functioning and engaged in wanting to be part of larger and larger communities. That's where I get my hope from, you know.
So things are changing.
Things are always changing. You know, the status quo would like to keep us in the dark. And by the status quo, I mean the way things have always been done. Let's take education, for example. When you look at history and the way history is taught, we're not taught history. We're taught by the perspective of those people who won. That's not enough. So there's a push. Some people are really pushing to expand what's being taught in history. There are people who are embracing the idea of talking about other cultures and other responses to the main story. And that's, you know, that's as it should be. We are disconnected from ourselves. We are disconnected from one another, and we are disconnected from the earth. And until we can find our way back to some kind of connection, we would continue on a path of self-destruction. And so this is very important that we find ways to connect to other people's stories and other ways of being, so that you are my other me. My destiny is bound up with yours, and I need to understand that, and you do too.
Thanks for coming on Making Contact.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for this edition of Making Contact. You've been listening to a conversation with Dr. Shakti Butler, director of the film Cracking the Codes, The System of Racial Inequity. For a CD copy of this program, call the National Radio Project at 510-251-1332, extension 108. Or check out our website, radioproject.org, to get a podcast, download past shows, or to make a difference by supporting our work. Like Making Contact on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. The Making Contact team includes Lisa Rudman, Andrew Stelzer, George Lavender, Irene Flores, Juanita Carol Young, Lisa Bartfi, Salima Hamarani, Dorian Roberts, Dan Turner, and Barbara Barnett. I'm Jen Chien. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.